Hello, everybody. My name is Ramon, and this is Ramon's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 23rd of March, 2021. And as always, new week, and as expected, tons of devices have come out. We've got five new phones to talk about: OnePlus 9, OnePlus 9 Pro, the OnePlus 9R, the Poco X3 Pro, the Poco F, obviously the Poco F3, and there's more later this week. Yeah, I mean, it's a good time to buy a new phone in that regard. I mean, you just have to look at the specs. In previous episode, we talked about the Galaxy A52 and A72, and A52, in my opinion, would be a good deal for a lot of people. Oh, well, we're not here to talk about previous phones. We're here to talk about new devices. So let's get popping. We got to obviously talk about the OnePlus 9 series. It's the latest and greatest from OnePlus. I mean, there seems now, if you look carefully at the OnePlus 9 series, as I said, as a whole, or pretty much the Pro model specifically, put your eyes and ears and everything onto the OnePlus 9 Pro, seems like they have gone to the community and reviewers and have really listened to them. We heard you. And OnePlus 9 Pro really is a dramatic bump up, really adding a lot of improvements, quite a lot of improvements. But the key improvements, in case you forgot, probably are that you now have wireless charging, which I think is a big deal in of itself. It got much better cameras, and it got a really good display, which got a little better because they improved the refresh rate. And yeah, really, what more can you ask for? But obviously, they say don't judge a book by its cover. So let's read over the specs, because why not? Because, you know, you gotta know what's going on with these devices. So, probably would want to read through all these three phones. There are three phones specifically, before we kind of read into the specs. There's OnePlus 9 Pro, the 9, and then the 9R. The last one, the 9R, is basically an affordable flagship phone. It's only for the Indian market, ironically. But it has the more kind of appropriate compromises, in my own opinion, to suit it. But then, frankly, the price difference, well, I mean, as I said, you know, all my phone geeks in India obviously will better know where the, I'd say the 9R is not really worth it. The price difference, I mean, if it was a little more than that, I would have understood, but oh well, let's just read through these specs, I mean, shall we? So, the OnePlus 9 Pro, probably the beefiest of the three, and one with the most improvements almost, is a really impressive phone. It comes in two stunning colors. I mean, I'll just cut it straight: green and silver, but obviously have a gradient finish to reflect nature or obviously weather, which is interesting. So the OnePlus 9 Pro weighs 197 grams, features a 6.7-inch almost diagonal 3216 by 1440 display, so Full HD Plus, 20.1:9 aspect ratio display, 120Hz, Fluid AMOLED with LTPO display tech, which is a P3 display, so it'd be a little better, not P4 unfortunately, but can support sRGB color range of the full spectrum. 10-bit color depth in HDR should be possible without a problem. And obviously the display is Gorilla Glass, but we don't know which one. I think it'd probably be 5 or something. This phone, the OnePlus 9 Pro, in terms of overall performance on paper, features a Snapdragon 888 processor, the Snapdragon, the Qualcomm's X60 cellular chip that can do 5G without a problem, Adreno 660 GPU, which is obviously with the 888, 8 or 12 gigabytes of LPDDR5 RAM, 128 or 256 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 dual lane storage, so pretty fast. 4,500 mAh battery, this would be around 4,400 mAh in real life, so it actually may vary, but you get 65-watt wired charging, and get this, and this one, and thought I'd never say this, but a round of applause, OnePlus, 50-watt wireless fast charging. Wow. Now, I felt torn on this. I think 50-50, 50% of me is like happy that they added 50-watt wireless fast charging, and then 50% is like, yeah, my own car will pay left OnePlus. Now they added this, so it's just a nice to have feature. Like, this is a premium flagship phone. They definitely have to have wireless fast charging. So 50-watt wireless fast charging is awesome. It's a nice to have feature. It's really good. It's not on all phones for a reason. Now this is what the OnePlus 9 Pro is all about. This is what, in my own opinion, the wireless fast charging. First OnePlus to have it. It's absolutely amazing. Kind of torn. Are there any benefits? I mean, you're the better judge of it. I'd say having wired fast charging is better because, you know, that gives you the feeling of topping up the phone in like 20 minutes and then you use it forever. So yeah, it's interesting. But as I said, if you look at the price of this phone, you'll not be surprised, frankly. It is appropriate for what it is at its price. But aside from that, in terms of the camera, you have essentially a camera system tuned over from the folks at Hasselblad to give you a better contrast and a better night mode and all that stuff. Essentially, if it has a 48 megapixel main sensor, a Sony IMX789, one of its kind, only to OnePlus ironically, 48 megapixel, 1x1.43 inch sensor size, 1.12 micrometer pixel size, has OIS, and is equivalent of 23 millimeter lens, 23 millimeters, keep that in mind, an aperture of f1.8 out of the gate. You get a Sony IMX766 ultrawide sensor, which is roughly 50 megapixels, can also do macro. Ladies and gentlemen, well done. No need an additional macro sensor. This is phenomenal. They're able to pull off macro with an ultrawide. Like, now that's what I call efficiency and good R&D right there. Good on OnePlus that they basically decided to offer two features on one sensor, even though you have multiple sensors, ironically. But you get a 50 megapixel ultrawide sensor, 14 millimeter equivalent, f2.2 aperture, and this ultrawide sensor features OnePlus's own custom freeform lens, which cuts out the warping, the ultrawide warping effect on the sides, on the edges. Have you ever seen ultrawide pics, especially ones from the Galaxy and iPhones, where the outer edges of an ultrawide picture are warped as if they're sucked into time? You don't get it on the sensor on the OnePlus 9 Pro, and I saw that. It was really awesome. And I saw the samples to see, because they say with cameras, you have to see it to believe it, you know? And it does a pretty impressive job, like not too shabby. It actually does cut out the distortion really well. So also another applause for OnePlus in that regard. You get an 8 megapixel, 1 micrometer pixel size OIS telephoto sensor, f2.4 aperture. Don't know why they had to have it, but that's really cool. And this is for the OnePlus 9 Pro only. And now you get a 2 megapixel monochrome camera, and that helps with taking black and white photos and taking crispier overall photos. Obviously, it would take the data from the monochrome sensor. I don't know if that's how it works, but it takes the data from that and gives you a crispier image. This reminds me of the older Huawei phones, the P8 and 9 and 10, that they had like a monochrome sensor to give you a better picture quality. So that's that. You get dual LED flash, multi autofocus out of the gate. In terms of video, you can record 8K video at 30 frames per second, and you can record 4K at up to 120 frames per second. So, and also you could do 4K time lapses, which is not too shabby. And a 1080p 240 frames per second super slow motion, which is not too shabby also in that regard. As in terms of the front selfie camera, it's a Sony IMX 471 sensor, 16 megapixels, 1 micrometer. Only it's no OIS here, but oh well. It's fixed focus, autofocus, and it has f2.4 aperture, and it can record only at full HD, which is not too bad. Let me get my breath here. In terms of cellular connectivity, having the X60 with the 888, you get 4G and full 5G support. So you get millimeter wave and sub 6 and low band 5G supported on the OnePlus 9 Pro, and that would be great if you're in the US and you have access to all the wonderful networks with millimeter wave 5G like Verizon, which I think is lovely. You get Wi-Fi 6 and Bluetooth 5.2, NFC is also included. And on top of that, you get an in-display fingerprint sensor, And a whole bunch of sensors, which is really nice, all standard. You get USB 3.1 Type-C port, dual stereo speakers. You get an alert slider, famous stuff with the OnePlus 9 phones, or the OnePluses in general. This is a alert switch. You get all this for $1,069 US. You'll be jaw-dropped. They're no longer looking to be the price killer here. $1,070 for this device, which is interesting, to say the least. So quite a pro phone for the pros. And then we have the OnePlus 9, which is slightly slimmed down a little bit. So it's 192 grams. So it weighs that much. It features a 6.55-inch 2400 by 1080 display, 402 PPI pixel density, 20 by 9 aspect ratio, almost ultra wide, 120Hz P3 fluid AMOLED display with sRGB color gamut coverage, not too shabby, and features Gorilla Glass. Don't know which one, but it says Gorilla Glass, so we'll take it for what it is. On top of that, you get a Snapdragon 888 X60 modem, Adreno 660 GPU, 8 or 12 gigabytes of RAM, LPDDR5 spec, 128 or 256 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 dual lane storage, not too shabby right here. The regular OnePlus 9 has 15 watts of wireless charging and 65 watts of fast charging wired, which is not too bad, and 4500 milliamp hour battery. In terms of the camera, you get almost the same sensors, although you don't get a telephoto lens, so you miss that out, but you get a main and ultrawide sensor, two almost similar sensors, phenomenal in that regard. You get good quality photos, you're not missing out on much, so you only miss out on a telephoto sensor, and that pretty much is it really, if you think about it. And it's almost similar, the sensors. And you get 2-megapixel monochrome sensor, which would help with taking crispier photos. Dual LED flash, multi autofocus out of the gate. You also get the same video recording settings because you have the same two main sensors as the 9 Pro. So you get 8K video recording at 30 frames per second. And also almost the same selfie camera, which is not too shabby. So take it as it is. Now here's another big difference. The OnePlus 9 has 4G and 5G, but only low and mid-band 5G out of the gate, so no millimeter wave 5G. But hey, millimeter wave 5G is only available in some places, so if you're probably not going to miss it. You get dual-band Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.2, NFC and GPS out of the gate, and also built-in fingerprint in-display fingerprint sensor and all usual sensors as always, and you get a USB 3.1 Type-C port, and yes, you can even plug in wired earbuds with USB-C, which is not too shabby. Alert slider and dual stereo speakers, which really is an all-rounder in this regard. The OnePlus 9, as it is, altogether an all-round package. You kind of miss some things out, but again, OnePlus 9 will cost you $729 USD, so it's slightly higher than last year's OnePlus phones, but you got 5G, you got everything you need for a phone. $729 is a good price. And finally, this is even more affordable. In case $729 or, for my folks in India, 50,000 Indian rupees or 1 lakh Pakistani rupees is too much money for you. There's also a OnePlus 9R. OnePlus 9R is obviously a more affordable version of both phones. The price is quite interesting, quite competitive to knock out other rivals. For context, the OnePlus 9R will start, just to set the record straight, the OnePlus 9R in India will cost you $550 US. Or if you're in Pakistan, this would be equivalent to if you do a rough calculation, actual price may vary, but it would cost you 80 to 90,000 Pakistani rupees, so way less than 1 lakh, which is not bad. So 86,000 Pakistani rupees to be exact. So it's a competitively priced phone, $500 sub $500 flagship since competes with the Realme GT and other devices in its segment. So what are you missing? Or what are you getting for your money? What are you getting for 40K? So, or 86K? OnePlus 9R is will weigh 189 grams, features a 6.55 inch LCD, 120 hertz, sRGB. Okay, I don't know if it mentions AMOLED, but it says it's a P3 display, ironically. But it can do sRGB color gamut. I'm thinking this is an LCD IPS display. IPS is good for a lot of people. AMOLED is a bit too expensive, so I think they're skimped out on the display. That's the first big difference. So you get a 2400 by 1080 402 PPI LCD IPS display, 20 by 9 aspect ratio, not too shabby. You get a Snapdragon 870 out of the gate, an X55 5G modem. Yes, it'll do 5G, not millimeter wave. It'll do low and mid band 5G, which will do wonders for now. You get Adreno 650, 8 or 12 gigabytes of RAM. You get 128 or 256 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 dual lane storage. Thankfully, they maintain the memory, the storage speeds, which I think is important for a lot of users in a place like India, because you have a lot of downloaded files. I don't know, you have WhatsApp forwards, you need to watch it quickly. And if it loads quickly, then that's lovely. And fortunately, it does not have wireless charging. Okay, there were crackers in the back. Don't judge me. I don't know who did that. Someone, you know, in Karachi, the wedding season's at its peak. Oh well. In terms of battery, this has a 4500 milliamp hour battery with 65 watt wired fast charging. Thankfully, they maintained the wired fast charging. So if you miss Qi charging, shouldn't be a problem. Now another interesting tidbit is the camera. You only get a 48 megapixel Sony IMX 586 sensor with a 0.8 micrometer 40 pixel size, so that would be about 48 megapixels total, and it would shrink software wise to 12 megapixels, so not bad. You get optical image stabilization, which is awesome, and f1.7 aperture. So they have tweaked the camera slightly, so it's not the camera system on the OnePlus 9 series main. You get a different set of cameras. Hopefully the quality is decent. You get a 60 megapixel ultra wide angle camera, f2.2 aperture, 123 degree field of view. So it's maybe a regular ultra wide sensor that you get on other rivaling phones. 5 megapixel macro sensor, 2 megapixel monochrome lens, dual LED flash. You can only record video at 4K resolution, 60 frames a second maximum. You get 60 megapixel Sony IMX 471 selfie camera, 1 micrometer pixel size. There's no OIS, unfortunately, but you get an f2.4 aperture. This will do really do one spec of mid-band 5G, ironically, so that's interesting. So this shouldn't be a problem, to say the least. But you can get full 4G support, so that shouldn't be a problem. But fortunately, you get Bluetooth 5.1 and Wi-Fi 6 support, which is good, because you're probably using Wi-Fi most of the time. And yes, you still get a in-display fingerprint sensor and USB 3.1 Type-C port, which is not too shabby. Alert slider, dual stereo speakers, and I've already told you the price. It will be available in India for 40,000 rupees, roughly, so that would be 86,000 Pakistani rupees, around $550 US starting, and you can buy it now, pretty much. So that was the OnePlus 9 series, and I can't believe I've spent 18 minutes talking about it. It's such an interesting phone, to say the least. So I think they say the specs tell you the entire story, and well, the OnePlus 9 series is interesting. The 9 Pro is an absolute pro in that regard. It is really, it's not really thought about being the best value flagship. It's become a good premium phone in that regard. Before we mention the OnePlus 9 Pro, we gotta talk about that price. OnePlus 9 Pro in the US, that will be starting. I coded the top spec price. The OnePlus 9 Pro would start from $970 US for the base spec, which is the 8 gigabytes RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage, 900 euros or 65,000 Indian rupees, which is a lot of money in the air for a Pro. And it's quite bumped up compared to last year when the Pro hit the roughly $900 price tag. So it's around $1,000, give or take. But you need to also realize that now this is a OnePlus phone that absolutely is really not compromising in any department. You've got a camera that is, well, I'd say about the camera, it's a really a great camera. It's really good and can now kind of compete with Samsung and Apple in that regard. Now, speaking of the camera, the OnePlus 9 series has this unique camera. Both phones, the Pro and the regular, have a camera system basically also sort of been designed and like tweaked by Hasselblad. So Hasselblad's job, you see the logo, it's a bit like Carl's eyes on a Nokia phone. See? Camera makers and phone makers, collaborations have been happening since Nokia started doing it with Carl Zeiss. Anyways, so the OnePlus 9 series, the Hasselblad part of the entire story, relates to the fact that OnePlus has repicked two really good main sensors, 50 megapixel ultra wide, 48 megapixel main, but on top of the good sensors and on top of that, the Snapdragon 888 with a good ISP, the camera has actually been tweaked by Hasselblad, so they've tweaked the color science behind the pictures, and the idea is that you get a really crispy shot, some really crispy shots. They say your best shot, and I think that's important given that OnePlus phones have been great at performance and value, but they've lacked camera, and this has been, and I think this is OnePlus's biggest strike yet, like especially really striking back with the camera. So they've decided to make a much better camera. They've teamed up with Hasselblad to really improve on the software end of things. The camera, they're adding a better, offering better contrasted pictures, not too dull, not too sharp, or not too bright, just the right kind of picture. So the sensor at the heart of it all, the main sensor, the 48 megapixel sensor, is a Sony IMX789, which is a new sensor, never heard of it before. It is only available to OnePlus, and Sony designed it with OnePlus together. So a lot of R&D work, and but also, and that means that the IMX789 features dual native ISO, digital overlap HDR, 2x2 on-chip lens, which is wonderful, optical image stabilization, and you can do 12-bit RAW pictures. Stunning stuff right here. So, and because of this, this phone can really stand on its own compared to the S21 Ultra in that regard. You can record videos at 8K 30 frames a second, or 4K resolution at 30 frames, 120 frames per second. I thought I'd say 30. 4K 120, which is not too shabby. So, and you have a 2-megapixel monochrome sensor. Also, it's on the regular OnePlus 9 and 9 Pro. Both of them have it, and it helps the main camera to take, as I said, better shots. On top of that, you have a 50-megapixel Sony IMX766 ultra-wide sensor. So, it's really awesome. OnePlus is being pretty practical with these cameras, to say the least. It has also, it isn't just another ultra-wide sensor. It has freeform lens, a special kind of lens that OnePlus designed. And I meant that means, and I mentioned it earlier in the specs readout, that this reduces the distortion, or really the curve, on ultra-wide pictures to roughly 1% compared to 10 to 20%, which I think is really awesome. So that's the camera. It's really awesome, to say the least. They skipped, thankfully they didn't offer a macro sensor. They've u actually utilized the ultra-wide sensor and added autofocus on ultra-wide. So definitely kudos to OnePlus. I think it's wonderful that they've really been making it more pragmatic, more practical, and I think you gotta appreciate for what it's worth. I mean, you're gonna spend $1,000. You might as well have your camera be spectacular and top-notch and do wonders. OnePlus 9 Pro has a Fluid Display 2.0, 6.7-inch LTPO OLED display, so it's more efficient than typical OLEDs. 120 Hz refresh rate, adjustable to 1 Hz, and that saves good battery life in that regard. And it's an AMOLED display that has E4 emitting material, which would help with lower blue light emissions, so that's awesome. And native 10-bit color depth support, so that's awesome. And it's extremely bright at a max of 1,300 nits. About to say 1.3, I don't know why. 1,300 nits right over here. So also it comes with CoolPlay, which apparently is based on the sa has the same cooling solution as the OnePlus 8T, and that helps with really lowering the heat when playing mobile gaming like PUBG Mobile, which I think is a nice to have feature. But another part of it, and I discussed it already, and that is the 65-watt wired fast charging, 50-watt wireless fast charging. Now, OnePlus phones have been great in terms of being great flagships. They missed one feature, and that was wireless fast charging. And now they have wireless fast charging, and I think it's a nice-to-have feature. But hey, you have to pay $100 extra for this privilege, but hey, I think the time is appropriate. They not only added this feature, but they now offer fast charging, which is really nice, and has IP68 water and dust resistance. The OnePlus 9 is almost similar. So this, you get the, you essentially, okay, you get a slightly, you get an old main sensor, which is Sony IMX689, which is interesting. But you get a similar set of features. 8K video recording is still available. 50 megapixel ultra wide sensor, same sensor. You don't get the 120 hertz adaptive refresh rate display. You miss that out, but it's decent enough and will do wonders. So there's some cutbacks, but yeah. And then you get slower wireless Qi charging, 15 watt wireless fast charging. And well, GSM Reno wrote this down here, and that is that the North American European variants of the OnePlus 9 will have 15 watt wireless fast charging, so that's not on the Indian version, sadly. That's kind of a good, interesting compromise. But both phones have dual stereo speakers that can do Dolby Atmos. The price is interesting, to say the least. $730 starting for the OnePlus 9 in the US, that'd be roughly, so that'd be about $700 worldwide, give and take. And then $900 starting roughly, about $1,000 almost for the 9 Pro. Now, they've sharpened that price up, that's for sure. It's kind of interesting, to say the least. They sharpened that price up, and that's the biggest compromise. I think it's the price. They used to sell their phones around $300 to $600, and I think that was the sweet spot. But now, obviously, they're adding a lot of interesting components, and the price, and those things don't come cheap, and the price just shoots up as a result. So that's interesting, to say the least. So these are interesting phones, and obviously they're available. They're kind of available now. You can buy them now. I think you could pre-order them. Let's see. Yeah, you can buy them now from OnePlus's store, and they're available worldwide almost. So you're paying more money, but you're getting a bit more money. But now, the question simply would just jump to, and we're not gonna, whine on more about how great they are and why they're too expensive. Which OnePlus 9 should you get? The regular OnePlus 9 is great more on performance side. You get great performance, good camera. It's not the full camera experience as the 9 Pro, but if you want everything, the 9 Pro is the one to get. It's an all-rounder. It has everything you need, and it's not settling. It's not cut. It's really no longer cutting any corners. It's not restricted price-wise. It's $1,000 plus, and it really is packing all punches. It really is really taking punches with any Android flagship of its class. So it's quite a fascinating phone, to say the least. So that was the OnePlus 9 series. But I will want you to note a bunch of things. The OnePlus 9 Pro just has a bigger, slightly bigger display, a telephoto sensor, and millimeter wave 5G, and you get IP68 water dust resistance on the Pro. HyperTouch is included, which boosts the response, the touch rate on the Pro. That's really awesome. So if that really is worth the extra $200-$300, then go for it. Honestly, OnePlus 9 would be good performance-wise for lots of people. And then there's the affordable phone, which is the OnePlus 9R, to say the least. I mean, so OnePlus 9R is the cheaper variant of the two phones, and this is just for the Indian market, unfortunately, to say the least. Now, I already mentioned, again, reading in the specs readout, I didn't exactly tell which display it is. It doesn't exactly confirm what the display is, which is weird, but it has some quite interesting compromises. It's got a different set of cameras, it's got the Snapdragon 870, and all that good stuff. It's an affordable phone. It sits right between the Nord phones and the 9 series. It's that phone that, where people are like, I want all the performance in the world, but I really don't want to pay a lot of money. I don't want to pay thousands of dollars. I want to pay under $60K for a good phone, and this is the one to kind of get. Honestly, there's only a 10,000 rupee price difference, unfortunately, especially with the spec-wise. I would say you go with a OnePlus 9 if you want all the performance, especially if it's the Indian variant, which is interesting. This is only available in India, and you can get it, and you can pre-order it early next month, which is just around the corner. So that's that. So honestly, it's a really good phone. But then there was also another device that they launched at the event, and I can't believe I spent 30 minutes on this. It's interesting. But amongst these three phones, I've already given my advice, and well, you know, I mean, the 9 and the 9 Pro themselves are both amazing in their own right. Then there was the OnePlus Watch, which is OnePlus's first wearable device, which is really, really awesome. It has all flavors of GPS, from the looks of it, Bluetooth 5.0, 14 days of battery life, 4GB of internal storage, 1.39-inch AMOLED display, stainless steel design, round case, essentially, is really stunning. It's quite practical and functional. Really, it is quite a good wearable, to say the least. And yes, it's a 46mm case, so that's really interesting. So you can pack up to 500 songs on this device, which is really awesome. It does not run Android Wear OS, ironically, Wear OS by Google, but it uses its own custom OS, which is shouldn't be a problem for a wearable, but it connects to a OnePlus device or any Android phone or iOS phone without a problem. It has IP68 water dust resistance, 5 atmospheric pressure, atmospheres of pressure resistance, which is really cool. And you could dunk this into water for 50 meters for up to 10 minutes. And you can track things like calories, distance, speed, swimming efficiency, and much, much more. But on top of that, it features a heart rate sensor, blood. Okay, let me just find these sensors here. You get acceleration, gyroscope, geomagnetic, optical heart rate, and blood oxygen sensor, ambient light, air pressure, and capacitance sensor, which is really interesting. So you could do dozens of fitness modes, to say the least. So this is, it has over 110 workout modes, which is really cool. It's all the more popular stuff, yoga, cricket, you know it, you name it, it has it. In terms of battery, it has 1 week of 1 week of battery life, regular use, but you can get this topped up in just 20 minutes, which is really, really awesome. And yes, with your OnePlus phone, this connects to your OnePlus phone, you can take calls straight from the watch through the phone, and you can connect this to a OnePlus TV, and that's where the ecosystem game kicks in. If you have a OnePlus TV, as you may have that, I already discussed it last week because it got leaked. It was awesome. It has tons of really cool features. You can control the OnePlus TV, you can change, adjust the volume, turn off the TV, control it through Wi-Fi, obviously. It has smart features. It lowers the volume automatically when you get a call on your phone or your watch. And I think that's awesome. When you fall asleep, and because it starts to track your sleeping, it knows you sleep because you're tracking it. It tracks it. It shuts the TV off. And that's so genius. Why didn't anyone think of it? Why didn't Samsung think of it? Was it extra coding work? I mean, that was genius. This is what I mean by having OnePlus. They really thought this out compared to the competition. So, really good watch. Really competing with the Mi Watch and the Amazfit watches out there. Neck and neck, competes with Amazfit in terms of spec sheet and functionality. And this whole thing, this whole watch costs $160 or 17,000 Indian rupees, which is a phenomenal value for money, to say the least. If you don't like Xiaomi's wearables, you might as well want to go for this. It's a good option in the Android wearable space. Plenty of choices, really. So that was all OnePlus released today. That was quite fascinating and quite powerful devices. I mean, really, really hitting new bounds, if you know what I mean, in terms of devices. Moving on, Poco. They're not stopping. They're unstoppable. I mean, basically beast mode enabled, if that's even a thing anymore, if that's a sentence you'd say. They released two new phones the day before this event, and those two phones are the Poco X3 Pro and the F3. This is basic in terms of storage, in terms of specs, so that's interesting. So the Poco X3 Pro, there's an X3 Pro and an F3. The X3 Pro is sort of a bumped up version of the Poco X3, a very popular mid-range phone. In terms of specs, real quick, the X3 Pro features a Snapdragon 860, so it's a slightly bump up from the 855 Plus, almost flagship, but again, slightly slower and has 4G connectivity only, which is interesting, not 5G, unfortunately. Kind of sucks, but hey, maybe next year. So you get that similar set of processors and a similar GPU, to say the least. A 6.67-inch LCD display, full HD resolution, 120 Hz refresh rate, 20 megapixel selfie camera, 48 megapixel main sensor with a half-inch sensor, it's half-inch in length, almost f1.8 aperture, 8 megapixel ultra-wide sensor, and 2 megapixel sensors for macro and depth shots, which is really interesting. 5,160 milliamp hour battery, so it's almost similar to the 6,000 milliamp of the X3 NFC, which is really awesome, and has a enlarged copper heat pipe inside and multiple layers of graphite for cooling, good for PUBG Mobile because it can make phones hot. 33 watt fast charging, and you get a 33 watt charger in the box, so it's kind of decent for what it is, and it's a slight bump up from the X3. You get a much faster processor and some nice to have bits and bobs. It comes with MIUI 12, so it's almost a Xiaomi phone, but it's a Poco phone, obviously. The Poco X3 Pro is available with 6 GB of RAM or 128 GB of storage, both, or 8 GB of RAM and 256 GB of storage, and will start from €249, and is kind of available, and it's going to be available this week, pretty much. But that's not the phone we're really here to talk about. The other interesting phone that really kept my eye is the Poco F3. This is a flagship phone, but it's good value for money. Now, the Poco F3 is based off the Redmi K40. In fact, this is the global variant. If you live in the rest of the world outside of China, this is the K40 right here. But it's a Poco phone, and I think I'm glad about it, and it looks really nice, to say the least. It has the same specs as the Redmi K40. It's got a Snapdragon 870, 6.67-inch E4 AMOLED dot display, 120 Hz refresh rate, and dual stereo speakers tweaked with Dolby Atmos. Not too shabby, frankly. It is phenomenal. Good for gaming, good for anything. So absolutely beast of a phone, to say the least. So it features the Snapdragon 870. Adreno 650 GPU, and the Snapdragon X55 5G modem, so incredibly fast. Wi-Fi 6 is supported. It's got this really, again, similar to the Redmi K40, absolutely strong display, and absolutely wonderful. This is probably a phone I definitely want to be getting eventually, so that's that. In terms of cameras, I think we'd all want to know what the camera is all about. You get a 48 megapixel main sensor, and I don't know about the ultrawide sensor, to say the least, but where is it? But yeah, you get a 48 megapixel main sensor, an 8 megapixel ultrawide sensor with 119 degrees field of view, 5 megapixel tele macro camera combined sensor. That's not too shabby, frankly. That's really good, though. You get a 20 megapixel selfie camera that can even do nighttime selfies, which is really awesome. You get triple microphones. So this is essentially the global Redmi K40 variant. The F3, though, has a 4,520 milliamp hour battery, which is interesting, and 33 watt fast charging, which is not bad. And you get a charger in the box, too, of the same capacity, which is not too shabby. So absolutely stunning phone. Comes in 6 or 8 gigabytes of RAM with equally 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. And we'll start from €349, or we do the currency calculation, as always. So that should be $413 starting. This is I think $100 roughly less than the OnePlus 9R. Not too shabby. So impressive specs. €349 starting. You can get it for €50 less when it goes on sale from March 27th. That's this Friday, pretty much. Not bad, man. I mean, this is the flagship I've actually been looking for. I've been looking forward to buying I really wanted a flagship Android phone, and I think I found one in the Poco F3. This is the one phone I'd really be getting. Fortunately, it will come loaded with the Play Store, and it'll be a Poco phone, so it'll not be bad. It shouldn't be loaded with ads, hopefully. It's a solid phone, to say the least. I do know this is the global K40 variant, and it's really awesome, you know. I mean, at least here you're getting a lot of value for your money. You get a crispy, compared to the OnePlus 9R, you get crispy display. You still get the same old processor, but you get a better display and a really good camera system. You can bet on Poco or Xiaomi delivering a good camera right here. And I like Xiaomi devices. I'm a Mi fanboy, and I really love this device. This is the phone I'm going to be getting, okay? Hopefully this does come out in Bahrain, and I'll definitely pick this one up in a shop. You know, this is really a good phone for what it is. Good value for money, so that's that. Really, it's awesome that Poco is giving you exactly what you need and really what you don't need in that regard. So, yeah. And then we've talked about the Poco and OnePlus devices. Let's just now talk about other things. So, Nikkei Asia Review have reported that Samsung's looking to create a double folding foldable phone to be released at the end of this year. Apparently, a source told Nikkei Asia Review, which is a very reputable business and news magazine in Asia, very reputable. A source has told them that the design is set to make the unfolded screen aspect ratio be in line with the mainstream ratio of 16:9 or 18:9, so more video games or and other apps could run more smoothly with better resolutions on the in the device. Basically, that there's already a Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 2 coming out, and Samsung may be looking to create another foldable, but it's going to be a double folding. Double folding essentially is, imagine the Z Fold 2, but you have another extra layer to fold. It folds out like a map guide. If you've ever had one of those pamphlets that folds out and folds into a, if you ever had a map and it folds out, it's almost like that. It's really interesting, and they're claiming it can come in the end of 2021. So let's see. I mean, this could be interesting to say the least. So we talked about the Nintendo Switch Pro, and now we have more information about the Switch Pro. This time, Bloomberg have again claimed that the Switch Pro, the new Nintendo Switch, or the Switch Pro as we are calling it here, may come with a new chipset from Nvidia. Now, we all know that the Switch uses a Tegra X1 based CPU, which is really good, and it's incredibly fast for what it is. Apparently, there's a brand new chip that Nvidia is offering that can offer you 4K graphics from plugged into a TV, and Nvidia's is DLSS technology. Now, I'm surprised, you know, this is stuff from PCMR that's gonna go into a Nintendo console, because Nintendo's not exactly known for having cutting-edge performance, and Nintendo's, you know, marketing prowess is all about having a fun time playing games and not playing with power. But hey, it's awesome that they're looking to to put a new chip and offer better performance potentially. And one of Bloomberg's analysts is claiming that this upgraded variant of the Nintendo Switch could cost $349 to $399. So this really is, could potentially be a Nintendo Super Switch or a Switch Pro. So it could be a $400 Switch. I'd probably pay for this. It's amazing. The Nintendo Switch is a really good console, and I will see. I mean, again, this may not happen possibly, and also and this is on top of the fact that it could come with an OLED display, which is really interesting. You're gonna play with power. And the Switch is easily becoming one of Nintendo's best-selling consoles. So kind of excited. This could be the Super Switch potentially. You're playing with power right here, that's for sure. And finally, some video streaming news-ish kind of thing. Disney has kind of announced that its upcoming summer blockbusters, Cruella and Black Widow, are going to be available. They're going to release in cinemas this summer, but also be available on Disney Plus through a feature called Premier Access, which is really, if you're a Disney Plus subscriber, you can choose to watch a movie for $30, and you can get the movie, and you're able to watch it over and over again until it completely drops onto Disney Plus, so you won't have to pay $30 extra. So Cruella will be releasing on May 28th, and now Black Widow will be releasing on July 9th, which is interesting. And Disney has also moved release dates for other films, including a prequel to the Kingsman series, which is interesting. But here's the more exciting part for all the families and Pixar fans. Luca, and I've seen a trailer, it's really cute and wonderful. They took essentially, I think it's an Italian folklore story. Again, Pixar trying to be more diverse. This movie, you're able to watch it completely on Disney Plus on June 18th. That's kind of awesome if you have Disney Plus. Great, I mean, $6-7 of some use. So yeah, your summer movie stuff is, what's surprising is the fact that they've decided for two major releases that are coming up. Really, they're gonna experiment with a theatrical release and essentially a windowed premium video on essentially a Disney Plus, rental thing, window premiere access, which is surprising. Which means that, well, cinemas are kind of gonna open back up properly, and some people will go back to the movies, but some folks will still stay at home, and most of us won't be vaccinated by then. So I think they made a good. I feel like they've made a good decision by offering Black Widow behind premiere access. That's a big Marvel movie. People are excited to watch Black Widow. It's awesome that they're offering it through premiere access. That'll probably be in demand when it premieres in July. People will spend $30 on that, not on Mulan, that's for sure. But I think they played it pretty safe also here. They're not like dead set on offering a full theatrical release, so it's an interesting decision from Disney, to say the least. So interesting decision from the House of Mickey Mouse, to say the least. You know, they also like streaming. That's the thing. So I mean, and they're the number two player in streaming worldwide. So this seems like a logical choice. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm @Zaid_Mountain99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to the show if you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, App, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts right now. Or just subscribe really straight away. If you're on Apple, leave a review if you can. Share this to your friends and family. Any support, any and every support is definitely appreciated. That even is how you pronounce it. Anyways, that's your boy Mountain signing out. Thank you for listening. Until Thursday, this is your boy Mountain signing out. Peace. Stay safe. Take care. Have a great day. And I'll see you on Thursday. We'll probably talk about the Realme 8 series. By then, I don't know why I'm burping a lot. But oh well. Take care. And I'll see you soon. All right. Thanks for listening. Ciao.